This is John Weber, and I'm sitting in for Marian McPartland today on Piano Jazz. Today, our guest is a young woman who is extremely versatile, performing and recording a wide variety of jazz settings. She is pianist, vocalist, arranger, educator, lyricist, composer, Carol Wellsman. Carol, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you.
You know, I should really add linguist as well, because you have recorded in numerous languages. I think, French and Portuguese, Italian, Spanish. What's that other one? English. Once in a while we get... I also want to mention that I'm an enormous fan of your music. You and your band really sound calm and intense at the same time and very focused musically. And you always manage to bring out the best from all of your musicians. You sound great when you're singing standards with an orchestra, as you did on Swing Lady Swing, that tribute to some of your vocal jazz heroes like Ella or Sarah or Carmen or Abby or Peggy. And you even did an album of Peggy Lee songs.
I did. Very recently. I Like Men, Reflections of Peggy Lee, because she was my father's favorite singer. And he always said, if you're going to emulate anybody or be inspired by anybody, she's the one.
I would like to hear you sing I Like Men, the title track from that album.
I'd love to sing it. Maybe he has sandy hair, or maybe his eyes are brown or blue. Maybe he has a fault or two, but I like men. And if he has a gentle way, maybe he'll make me feel so frail. Well, that's my favorite kind of male, 'cause I like men.
The first time I heard you, I thought that, wow, Carol Wellsman, what a great singer. And in support of this beautiful instrument, I thought, who is Carol Wellsman's piano player? And then I see Larry King, right? And I thought, this is a competition, this is reading her mind, but it's Carol Wellsman's piano player. And the mystery solved. And who better than you? And when you do those piano improv lines, it sounds like a horn line, almost like a shout chorus.
Yeah, I know. That. It's strange how, well, I think first and foremost, I have to say that I've always felt that I'm more of an accompanist to my singing than a pianist who sings. I'm sure if we did an interview session with all the singer pianists, you might get different answers to that. But I really do feel that. I've always done the two together. But because of this, I wouldn't call myself the Oscar Peterson of the piano from a technique standpoint. I'm more of the Count Basie school of piano. That's what I've followed. I love the subtleties and the little fills and things like that, because it also allows me more time to think about the lyrics. And I think that that's very important when you're singing. So when it comes to soloing, it's always been a challenge to me to come up with something that maybe nobody else does. And in performances over the years, I started to develop this singing the horn line or let's say the lead trumpet line on a shout chorus and do a block chord type of solo, which is reminiscent maybe a bit of George Shearing, who I'm very inspired by, but also somewhat original.
Yeah.
So,
which happened first? Help me with the chronology here. Were you a terrific jazz pianist who thought, singing, how hard could that be? Or were you this marvelous contralto who learned how to very capably accompany yourself and then blossomed into what I consider you a first-rate jazz instrumentalist. So which happened first, singing, playing? I suppose you're going to tell me you did them both at the same time.
Well, you know what? In a sense, I am going to tell you that, because I honestly believe that the two have grown together. When I first started playing and singing together, there was a coloring thing that went on, and there's a comfort level. And as soon as I stand up and sing, it's a completely different thing that's happening. So I find that the singing and playing have complemented each other, if you will, because the more I play a song in a key that's comfortable for the vocal, the more I can develop the vocal. So there are things, they're two things that really go together. However, I studied jazz piano separately from the voice.
I want to hear you sparkle on a song which got a really nice write-up in the USA Today. They said something, it was the pick of the week, the best recording. They loved your version of Folks Who Lived on the Hill.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Just as an aside to that, it's on my I Like Men Reflections of Peggy Lee CD for a very good reason. I was very lucky to meet Peggy Lee's granddaughter, Holly Foster Wells, and she has been very helpful to me and still proves to be very helpful with lots of information about Peggy Lee and her. And she introduced me to the song I Like Men, which I had never heard. And Peggy Lee wrote the lyrics to that. So this is actually Peggy Lee's favorite song.
Really?
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill, and we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill.
I love when you're laying down those incredible grooves with Jimmy Haslip of the Yellow Jackets. It's another creative element that showcases your musical personality very nicely. And I'm particularly mesmerized by your musical partnership with Brazilian guitar legend Oscar Castro Neves, because he had a big million seller by the time he was 16 years old, and he did a Carnegie Hall concert at least a year before Girl from Ipanema hit our shores, about 1962. But tell us about Oscar Castro Neves and how you two connected in the studio to make such exquisite music together.
Well, when I was 11 years old, I was dancing around in our den to Mashquinada, which I learned in Portuguese at 11. This is when I knew I had a love affair with Brazilian music. So it started at this young age. And my dad had these Sergio Mendes records and Jobim. And I kept seeing the name Oscar Castro Neves, which, the tie-in is that he was Sergio Mendes's musical director for 10 years. So there are very few people in my career who I wanted to meet from day one, but he was one of them. And I was signed by Savoy Jazz at one point, and the A&R person said to me, "We would like you to work with a producer. I'm not sure if you know him, but his name is Oscar Castro Neves." And I just about fell off my chair. I said, "Let me think about it. Okay, fine." In 1 second, it was a dream come true because I had heard so much about him. And so we got together, and on first meeting, it was obvious that we were going to put together a really, really fun project. And the album is called The Language of Love. And we had about 30 songs and we pared it down to 13. And I just learned so much from Oscar because he was a very good friend of Jobim's, and he played guitar on the album. So I was lucky to be able to learn even more about the Brazilian rhythms.
You do some wonderful reharmonizations. I know you always want to give Oscar credit, but he didn't play the piano parts. You did. And you do them very well. I remember hearing you sing and play One Note Samba. And thinking, here's a song. I mean, I don't know how many weddings I've heard One Note Samba, and it goes in one ear and out the other sometimes. But to hear you do it, you've just reinvented the song, and you make it really, really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm always trying to challenge myself with a song that would be well known to a lot of people, because it is one of the first songs that was introduced back in when Bossa Nova came to the U.S. and North America. So I just thought, if I do it the same way everybody else has, then it's going to be the same. And I'm always trying to find something a little bit different.
And you find that pocket, that nice kind of sultry, smoky, amazing pocket that most people play it too fast. I want to play it as a duet with you. Could we try that?
I would love that.
Let's do that.
Esse aqui, este sambinha, feito de uma nota só. Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quantas vezes eu disse por aí que fala tanto e não diz nada. Já me utilizei de tudo, escalas na meu nome, sobre nada, não veio em nada. Eu voltei pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou contar com a minha nota, como eu volto de você.
When you're covering a tune, are you actively seeking to make it the best version in existence?
No, I don't think, I'm not trying to make it the best thing in the world. It's really just a question of trying to bring something. Give it some sort of a signature so that, because I really feel that there are so many singers and so many piano players, and not a lot of pianists and singers who accompany themselves. But at the same time, it's really a question of how could I work a version of a song that I really like that into jazz repertoire? Because what my goal always is there something in this song that speaks to me? Is there something that lures me in? I really am always looking at the lyrics of the song, and is it a story that I feel like I can relate to it? And then I would approach it that way and say, okay, I really can do something to this. And it's not every song at all. There's a lot of research that goes into this.
I'm always amazed that you're able to take tunes that are not even jazz tunes and turn them into something to put your personality in, and I guess it came from you just being exposed to music around the house. Your mother was a piano teacher?
She was classically trained, and so she was always on us to keep our classical studies going. So but I really the influence in the family that presented so much jazz to me was my dad.
Yeah.
He was the one listening to he would talk about the block chords that George Shearing was playing, and he would emulate it on the piano. He played by ear, but he was able to play everything he wanted to play.
It sounds like my dad. He used to play music night and day, all day long. We'd listen. I think he had maybe 75 records when I was born, and 74 were Doris Day singing standards, including that one where she did, I think it was called Latin for Lovers, where she did Desafinado and all these other beautiful Brazilian songs. And there's one that I learned later on that I found out Oscar Castroneves played on, written by Chico Buarque and Antonio Carlos Jobim, called Anos Dourados, with the vocal group, the Quarteto MC, four altos. They're sisters.
Well, you've stumped me because I've never heard that song. Would you play it?
Yes. What key? Choose a number between 0 and 7.
No, 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 no. I can't tell you what key to play.
Just choose a number.
Three. Three okay. Flats.
Three flats it is.
Sure.
Thank you. hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.